1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless the thoughts in these two verses to all our hearts. Now this is a little change from the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 that I've been going through, but it is still the fruit of the Spirit, for thankfulness surely is the fruit of the Spirit. Now 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. That is, in every situation. In every situation find something for which to give thanks. Because there always is, in any situation, there's always something to give thanks for. But we don't always do it, do we? If one thing goes wrong, it's natural to forget the 100 things that are right, and then just concentrate on the one thing that is wrong and complain about that. But the second verse is harder. Giving thanks always for all things. Now some commentators say that Paul is thinking simply of God's mercies. But we don't always even do that, do we? Don't always even give thanks for all God's mercies. The little hymn says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Add them up, the health, the strength, the soundness of mind, the food, the raiment, the shelter, the homes, employment, friends, loved ones. How many things there are. Mercies in this country in which we live, compared with other countries, how many things there are for which we should give thanks. And then of course there are all the spiritual blessings we have. What a thankful people we should be. But I don't believe myself that we should confine the verse to God's mercies and blessings. Brother Max read that verse, all things work together for good to them that love God, and it reminded us of experiences in the life of Elizabeth Elliot. And it's not only things that we count as mercies for which we have to give thanks, but I believe we have to give thanks for all God's providences, all His providences, because they're all working for our good, all His dealings with us. George Matheson, the blind preacher, once said this, my God, he said, I have never thanked Thee for my thorn. I've thanked Thee 1,000 times for my roses, but not once for my thorn. But surely we should thank Him for our thorn as well. I believe there is one exception to this all things. Sometimes the word all things can have an exception. I believe there is one exception, and that is sin. You can't thank God. Suppose a loved one of yours falls into sin. You can't thank God that he's fallen into sin, that she's fallen into sin, because that's not God's doing. God's not responsible for that. But we can often thank God for the results of sin, because He overrules for blessing, and so you can sometimes thank Him for the results of sin. You can't thank God for the wickedness of men who put Christ on the cross, but you can thank Him for the cross, you can thank Him for the result of it. Now, some time ago, Cecily and I were given a tape of an address by a man, Mr. William Ray. I found it very impressive. In fact, I found it very remarkable. He and his wife were missionaries in China. They had a child, a little girl of 9 months, who was seriously ill with diphtheria. Others around were dying of diphtheria, and there was no way by which he could take the child to hospital. And he became very rebellious in his spirit. They had given up everything to come to China. And here it seemed that God was allowing this little girl to die of diphtheria. And he became bitter and rebellious in his spirit. But in a wonderful way, the child recovered. But Mr. Ray considered that he had been so rebellious in his spirit that he was no longer fit to be a missionary. And so he and his wife returned to Canada. He went through very deep spiritual exercise, especially in relation to these two verses. In everything give thanks, giving thanks always for all things. and they became the main theme of his ministry. I'll mention three incidents that he told in this address. He tells how one day he visited two young ladies he knew. They were both teachers. One of them had gone through Bible college and she wanted to be a missionary, but the door hadn't opened for her to be a missionary. And this day he found her very depressed. He asked her what was the matter with her. "Oh," she says, "I'm no good. I'm slow and stupid. But Doreen," I think her friend's name was Doreen, "Doreen is quick and intelligent." "Oh," he said, "I doubt if you are slow and stupid. But shouldn't you thank God for the way he's made you?" "Oh, I suppose so," she said. "No suppose so about it," he said, "giving thanks always for all things. So get down on your knees and thank God for the way he's made you and for the way he's made Doreen." And so she did. And when she got up from her knees, she went upstairs to her room weeping for joy. She was just thrilled with joy because she had been brought to that point where she could thank God for the way he had made her. William Law was a great man, a contemporary of John Wesley, and he wrote this: "If anyone would tell you the shortest, surest way to all happiness and all perfection, he must tell you to make a rule to yourself to thank and praise God for everything that happens to you." That's what this young lady was able to do, brought to the point to thank God for what had happened to her. Soon afterwards, she was accepted as a missionary. Previously, Mr. Ray had said to her, "You're not fit to be a missionary if you can't thank God for the way he's made you." Then there was another incident. He went to see a lady who was normally very bright, but this day she too was depressed. "What's the matter?" he says. "Well," she said, "sometime after she and her husband became Christians, they felt that they needed to have a bigger house to entertain other Christians and perhaps to have Bible studies, but they didn't have the money. But her mother-in-law lent them the money, and so they got the house. But unfortunately, when they moved in, she moved in too. And because she was a very strong personality, it caused friction between the lady and her mother-in-law, and also between her and her husband." Well, he said to her, "Have you ever thanked God for your mother-in-law?" "She's a good Christian," he said. "She's a good Christian. Good Christian woman. She's very generous. She sent you all this money to get this house." And so she did. She gave thanks for all the fine qualities that her mother-in-law possessed. And God worked in a wonderful way. I don't think he tells exactly how he worked, but he did work in a wonderful way. And the dear mother-in-law realized that she was causing some friction. She moved down. Well, the third incident is very different, very, very touching. He was seriously ill. Mr. Ray was seriously ill. The doctor came to see him and told his wife that he didn't know if he could live through the night. His wife thought she should tell him, and so she did. She told him. Well, he said to him, "I want you to pray this prayer. Lord, if you take my husband tonight, you're doing right. I praise you for it." But she said, "I can't pray that prayer." He said, "You must pray it. It says, giving thanks always for all things." "And is there anything else that's troubling you?" "Yes," she said. "Jesus promised to that those who left all to follow him would have houses and lands. We've left all to follow him. We haven't a house." Well, he said, "Thank God for the promise. And thank him for the delay. There must have been a good reason for the delay." And she was given grace to pray those prayers. It gave her too great liberation. It gave her great joy. She had entered into a deep spiritual experience to believe that all things do work together for them that love God. Mercifully, her husband did not die that night. Now, we could think of many other illustrations. What does it say about the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus On the night in which he was betrayed, what did he do? He gave thanks. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, beaten, placed in the inner prison, their feet fastened in the stocks. At midnight, what were they doing? Praying and singing hymns of praise to God. There was Daniel in chapter 6, about to be cast into the den of lions. What did he do? Well, he prayed 3 times a day. But he did something more. I think we sometimes just don't notice the other little thing he did. He gave thanks. He gave thanks. About to be cast into the den of lions, but he gave thanks. I heard an American preacher once tell how he was brought up with his parents on a farm in Iowa. And one day there was a tornado. Destroyed their house. Destroyed their sheds. Destroyed all the crops. But that night his father, who was a godly man, called the family together. And he thanked God that there had been no loss of life or limb. They still had one another. And they still had God. I don't know if he obeyed Ephesians 5:20. I don't know if he was able to thank God for the tornado. But at least he obeyed 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In the situation, he was able to give thanks. Many of you doubtless have heard about that gospel ship, the Logos, which sank in Chile in January of this year. I read this little bit about the crew. Most of the crew have lost all their personal possessions. But they say, we still have our lives and our friends, and we're thankful to God for saving us. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says this thing is from me, this thing is from me. I believe that applies to all God's providences. This thing is from me. Job's sufferings were caused by Satan, but they were from the Lord. He allowed them. And so Job was able to say, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. This thing is from me. There's a verse in Nehemiah which tells how the Moabites hired Balaam to curse the people of Israel, but it says, God turned the curse into a blessing. Someone has written this sentence which I think is very beautiful. Is it not a glorious thing to know that no matter how unjust a thing may be, or how absolutely it may be from Satan, by the time it reaches us, God's will for us and will work for our good. I mentioned William Law a moment ago. I'll just give another quotation from him. He wrote this: the greatest saint is not he who prays most or fasts most. It's not he who gives most alms or is most eminent for temperance, chastity, or justice. But it is he who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God wills, who receives everything as an evidence of God's goodness, and has a heart ready to praise God for it. I believe he was right. When we're thankful to God, we're in tune with God. We're in tune with him, in tune with his mind and will. Andy Mole, a very saintly and scholarly man, wrote this: it is possible to see the will of God in everything, and to receive it not with sighing, but with singing. Chrysostom was a famous preacher of the 4th century. The word Chrysostom means golden mouthed, and he was called that later on because of his great eloquence. And his favorite saying was, glory be to God for all things. And he repeated those words in exile, in great privation, just before he died. Glory be to God for all things. Giving thanks always for all things. Well, if at any time that's too hard, and I can understand it being too hard. I don't know that I could always do it. Thanks always for all things. Maybe too hard. But let us at least begin with the easier one. Let us begin with the easier one. Perhaps we can go on to the harder one if we really get practice in the easier one. In everything, in every situation, give thanks.